anybody?
Hi, guys. Well, from Studio B and TGIA Tower here in beautiful Salt Lake City, Utah.
It's Thank God I'm Atheist.
Did you hear? I use my announcer voice for that.
Yeah, I know.
The podcast. You've frozen.
I'm Frank Feldman.
And I'm Dan Beecher.
And coming up on today's show, we're going to get back into some Mormon history.
Yeah, we're going to do some more What Mormons Don't Know They Believe.
Yeah.
But they know, but they believe
they
it.
They believe all sorts of contradictory stories.
They believe many very different things. Things that don't...
A founding story of Mormonism.
The founding story of Mormonism.
Perhaps the pivotal story.
We'll get into how Mormonism began.
Yeah.
Depending on which version you believe. We'll get into that towards the end of the show.
Yeah. Well, I've got some news for you, Dan.
Oh, good news.
It's official. And it's been official.
News.
But the Vatican has decided to reiterate something.
Okay.
To make sure that everybody understands, and this comes at the behest of the Pope himself.
Oh, good.
Body of Christ cannot be gluten-free. Meaning the host for the Eucharist.
So stupid.
This is important because this is a quote. The bread used in the celebration of the most holy Eucharistic sacrifice must be unleavened, purely of wheat, and recently made so that there is no danger of decomposition.
Uh-huh.
This is according to Cardinal Robert Serra of the Vatican's Congregation for Divine Worship and the Discipline of the Sacraments.
Well, you know why, don't you?
Why?
Because people with celiac disease are the devil's playthings.
So he continues, it follows, therefore, that bread made from another substance, even if it is grain, or if it is mixed with another substance different from wheat, to such an extent that it would not commonly be considered wheat bread, does not constitute valid matter for confecting the sacrifice of the Eucharistic sacrament.
Because
Jesus Christ, man.
Yes, Jesus Christ. Exactly.
Yeah,
he's made of wheat. We all know. Look, it's in the Bible, people.
Yeah.
If you just read your Bible, it says, and verily they looked unto the Lord and saw that he was wheat.
And his flesh was unleavened.
And he said unto them, lo, as I grow in the field, separate me from the chaff.
Yeah. Well, this is important stuff, Dan.
It's magic, people. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
It could be made of Play-Doh. It's magic.
Yeah.
If the magic works, it works.
Here's the problem.
Jerks.
The Catholics believe that the bread, that the host and the wine become the flesh and blood of Christ.
I know.
Upon it's like you're eating and drinking Jesus.
Yes, and in order to do that, apparently,
it has to be...
The medium must be perfect.
Clearly, there have to be a lot of rules about this.
Why? Again, it's just magic. You're turning bread into human flesh.
Magic doesn't work when there's no wheat.
When there's
Dan.
It's wheat-based magic.
Keep the leavening out.
You've got wheat
and the wheat in.
You've got wheat... You got grapes. Those are the things that make human bodies.
Yeah.
We know this from science, people.
Yeah.
I think this is just a fuck you to California.
Well,
I think what happened was, as is what happened to all of us.
Yeah.
When everybody, when Californians, as a part of their diet fad thing, decided to reject gluten. And I blame California entirely for this.
Clearly.
I mean, it's so sad. It's funny because it benefits people with celiac because suddenly all these people who have this actual disease that gluten is very dangerous for them.
Yeah.
Suddenly every restaurant in the country knows how to make stuff without hurting them
right.
And knows how to and has options for them.
Right.
That they didn't have before. So that's good.
Yes.
But it's also like none of us want to hear the word gluten ever again in our entire lives.
No.
No human right. being wants to hear that word ever again because it's so fucking annoying.
Well, the article that I
when
found...
When it's non-celiac. People.
Right. When I found this article, well, I found because I stumbled upon this story and there were a lot of different news sources that were covering it. It kind of exploded this week.
Yeah.
But I went to the trusty old NPR to get some truth, hopefully.
We need truth in this world.
Fake
news.
It is estimated that this is in their article. It is estimated that 1% of the population has celiac.
Yeah.
One in 100 people in this country have celiac? Or in the world, I guess?
Yeah.
This doesn't make any sense. We're only now discovering this?
No. Those people were just people who lived in pain before. That's all they were. Now
I just have a bad tummy. I have a bad stomach.
I just have a bad stomach. I
just don't know why.
You know, I don't eat a lot of bread because it hurts.
Well, they probably never connected it. Like, imagine if you were in a place where every meal included bread.
Italy.
Food. Good. Food, if bread is basically 80% of your food,
yeah.
you don't ever figure it out.
You just live in pain for a few years and then you die.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, there you go. The Protestants, though, don't agree on this issue.
Of course not.
They see it as symbolic.
They're going to be scooping up all of those Catholics celiac Catholics are going to now start to have to go to Protestant church.
There were actually a number of press releases this week from Protestant organizations saying we're fine with gluten-free.
Get over here, baby.
Yeah.
Come on over.
Yep.
Oh, my God. That's so funny. I'm going to, since we were just in Italy, I'm going to just jump across the water a little bit over to Malta.
Oh, beautiful Malta.
The delightful little island state of Malta.
Where the dogs come from.
The Maltese?
The little white, beautiful little dogs.
And the falcons.
Oh, yes. I love a good Maltese falcon.
Anywho, in Malta. So now Malta is like right off of Italy and basically
ish.
And basically it's a Catholic country. Heavily Catholic country.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's the Knights of Malta.
Uh-huh.
That's a Catholic thing. However, even though it is a predominantly Roman Catholic country, they just voted to legalize same-sex marriage.
Wow.
How about that?
Well, because everybody knows Larry and Steve, because it's such a small place, and they're like, right. Larry and Steve should get married.
Those are good, solid Maltese names. Larry and Steve are the two most popular names in Malta.
You don't know that it's not.
I do know that it's not, in point of fact. So that now the traditional you are now husband and wife is no longer the declaration at the end of the ceremony. It is you are now spouses.
Wow.
Only one out of the 67 lawmakers in the Maltese parliament voted against it.
Well, because they don't like Larry and Steve very much.
He hates Larry. Steve he's actually okay with. Like, Steve's like kind of all right. He didn't know about Steve for the longest time, but right. Larry's like mincy. Larry's got the limp wrist and the lisp, and he's,
wow, you're taking this to a dark place, Dan.
Only because Edwin Vassallo hates that guy.
Edwin? Yeah, that sounds like a Maltese name. I'm telling you, Larry and Steve are real.
Uh-huh. Larry and Steve are real. The t-shirt for TGIA. Anyway, So, you know, I figure when, as goes Malta, so goes the world.
I don't think that's true.
I think that's been historically true.
So goes the rest of the Mediterranean.
So goes Sardinia. And then you got...
Don't forget Corsica.
And then Sicilia will just sort of be not far behind.
Okay, I'm racking my brain for another Mediterranean island.
I'm glad I had Sicily in my back pocket. I was gone too.
Well, I mean, it was... Yeah.
There you go. Anyway,
Four islands in that goddamn...
Nope, we named them all.
See.
Nobody look it up. We named them all. All right, let's move on.
Oh.
Nope.
It escapes me.
Nope, you don't got it.
Capri.
Yeah, okay.
Yep, I got one.
There you go. You win.
Go again.
I got nothing. I don't know. Wait. Wait. No.
No.
I'd have to get into the Adriatic or something. No, I
anyway.
This has been Crypto Geography with Frank and Dan.
Hey, is it your turn?
No, it's your turn.
Oh, hey! Dan.
What?
So, this is both good news, bad news, and I don't know news.
Yeah?
I don't know. I don't even know. The grizzly bear, Dan, has been on the endangered species list for quite some time.
Mm.
It's been making a comeback, however, in sort of the Yellowstone National Park area.
Okay.
Doing quite well.
Grizzlies.
It's estimated that there are about 700 in the region.
Oh.
Living out their lives.
It's a
in peace.
Lovely.
Except when the tour groups come through, and then it's just awful. The removal has happened. They have been removed from the list.
Okay.
And which means that Montana, Wyoming, and Idaho are now going to be allowed to hold grizzly bear hunts.
Hooray!
Their wildlife divisions will be able to issue licenses.
Right.
There are quotas that are being worked out right now.
Yeah.
And everything's fine in the world. Mm. Except, of course, that Native Americans view the grizzly as a sacred animal.
Okay.
And the members of the bear clan actually view the grizzly as an uncle.
Well,
and they are suing the federal government, saying
up.
that this decision violates their religion.
Oh God.
So we're talking about sort of a sacred cow scenario.
Yeah.
But for the grizzly bear. And I have to say, I feel like it's bullshit. Because I...
Wait. You're claiming that bear is not that guy's uncle?
Well, no, I'm claiming...
I'm
claiming that it seems very weird to me that a group of people is saying that the act of hunting the grizzly bear by anyone is a violation of their religious beliefs.
Yeah.
And that's the problem that I have. Your religious beliefs control your conduct, not the conduct of others. Now, granted, I think that I hate hunting of these. I get arguments for like population control and this and that, but clearly that's not an issue. This thing's just barely coming off the endangered species list.
Right.
And so like, I hate it. I hate a lot of the, oh, I'm going to go get me a grizzly. You know, like
right.
That mentality really bugs me and I don't like that.
The whole sport and hunting
sport
thing.
Hunting really bothers me. Like if it were like, you know, again, wildlife division officials or employees that were going out to hunt to control the population, that I would be like, okay, well, like for the health of the whole species, clearly you need to cull.
Yeah, but
a
what's the difference between that and saying,
because I don't like the hunting. I don't like the sport.
It's turning
into a sport is distasteful.
It's a little yucky.
Me.
Yeah. It's a
and
little
so,
yucky.
But regardless of my own personal feelings on that matter, I don't think that that act is a violation of your religious beliefs.
Or your rights as a believer.
Rights.
Like, believe that that's your uncle or whatever.
Sure.
But you have to understand that, like, the rest of us do not believe that that's your uncle.
And you have no proof that that's your uncle.
Well, and we've got, you know, that's true. We could do some genetic testing, but I don't think it'll come out right. But here's the other thing. Like, we already have plenty of examples in this country and around the world of people, like, there are people living in this country who think that it is an abomination to eat swine, to eat pig flesh.
Right, but they don't stop us, the rest of us.
Right.
From enjoying ham.
That's for you. That is your
belief. Or a
good
pork chop.
That is not for me.
I haven't had a pork chop in years.
They're nice.
They are nice.
You can... I cook them up on my George Foreman.
Do you really?
Yeah.
You have a regular pork chop?
Sure.
Really?
Not regular, but every so often.
I haven't had pork chops in years.
They're delightful.
Do you get applesauce? Do you eat applesauce with them?
Not usually.
That's the... You're supposed to.
This has been Cooking with Frank and Dan. Yeah, the bear thing is ridiculous. That's just silly. P.S., just as an update,
yes,
ladies and gentlemen, 189 islands in the Mediterranean. And also, I wasn't...
And we could only name five of them.
I wasn't including, like...
That's a shame.
The whole Mediterranean. I was kind of cutting it off at Italy. But if you go
on...
Greece, of course.
Ah, fuck me.
And I actually thought of a Greek island and then was like, wait, is that actually... The Mediterranean? Of course it is now that I think about it.
Oh, I just thought of another one. Ibiza.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Yep.
God, we suck.
Yeah, we're terrible.
We suck
at this
geography,
game.
Dan.
We didn't get Corfu.
Oh, no.
We didn't get Djerba.
Oh, no.
We didn't get Thassos.
Oh, beautiful Thassos.
Everybody loves Thassos. Ikaria. We got none of these places.
These just sound like names of planets on Star Trek.
They do. All of
except
this.
It's what was it? Thosos?
Thesos or something like that?
Thesos 5. You have to always put a number after it. Right?
Samothrace 9.
Uh-huh. There you go.
That's perfect. Suddenly we're there. Yeah, exactly. I am from Doogie Orthok. Otok.
2.
Doogie Otok. That's a Croatian one.
Ah, Doogie Orktok Prime.
Exactly. Okay, well, let's move right along. Some unhappy news, some rough stuff.
No.
Coming out of Jerusalem.
Oh, boy.
This time,
that's
what we're dealing with here.
Surprise, surprise.
This is the crux of the problem between the Jews of Israel and the Palestinian Hindus.
I would love some Palestinian Hindus.
You know, those Hindus of Palestine. Muslims. That was the word I was looking for. The Muslims. The practicers of Islam.
Yes. You've now found five ways to say
right. The crux of the problem here is that we've got a whole bunch of people who believe very different religions.
Yes.
Not very different. They're basically the same religion.
Slightly
with some
modified
sort of dialectical changes. There's so many places, especially in and around Jerusalem, that are holy to both different reasons.
Isn't that crazy?
This particular incident took place at the site known to Muslims as the Noble Sanctuary,
but
to Jews as the Temple Mount.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It is, in point of fact, the most holy site in Judaism.
Oh.
And
oh,
the
boy.
Third holiest site in Islam.
Give it to the Jews.
After Mecca and Medina.
Give it to the Jews. More important to them.
They win.
Just, that's how you, that's how, that's, the,
this is how
that's
we,
how you decide this thing. I mean, come on.
We go through, you've got to order, you've got to put everything in order of most important to least.
You get your most important. There's no question about you getting your most important.
There is question, Frank.
No, because your third most important cannot trump the other group's most important.
It's the most important.
Come on, send me over there.
All right, fine.
Jared Kushner, he's not going to solve this. I'll solve it.
You figured it out. You've solved it.
Right
well,
now.
Well, there has been a shooting there.
Oh, boy.
There are three Palestinian assailants shot at Israeli police there and killed, killing two of them.
Jesus Christ.
Before the attackers
this
were
This is a holy site.
Killed.
Holy site, people.
Yeah, that's kind of not
it
what
seems
you
to
do.
Be lost on these on those shooters.
Well, I mean, when a conflict has been in full effect for that long, it's going to boil over in the places where the conflict is most passionately felt. And that's going to be in these places. I'm shocked that it doesn't happen on the reg.
Yeah.
Shockingly, this incident actually led to a phone call, an actual person-to-person phone call between Mahmoud Abbas and Benjamin Netanyahu, which never happens.
Really?
These two do not talk to each other. Mahmoud Abbas, of course, the president of the Palestinian
Authority.
Or whatever. And Netanyahu being the president of Israel.
Or whatever.
Prime Minister. You guys know what we're talking about.
He's that guy.
Don't get pedantic with us. We're not real news.
Benji. You know Benji.
Benji. BB.
BB, that's what it is.
BB and...
Don't get pedantic with me, Dan.
And Mahmoud actually spoke on the phone to each other. Abbas actually decried this. He actually said that this was not an okay thing. He rejects, he says, any violence from any party, particularly at holy sites.
Who called whom? Or did they dial each other's numbers simultaneously?
They did. Aides called each other and then planned when they were both going to pick up the phone at exactly the same moment.
3, 2, 1.
Hello,
Mr.
BB.
Prime Minister.
Yeah. No, Abbas called BB in this case.
Okay. All right.
So there you go. Very, very interesting. Nothing brings two enemies together like other enemies shooting each other. Or something.
A first or third most holy site, depending on
who you are.
Yeah.
Jews win. According to Frank.
Sorry. Somebody's got to say it. It seems obvious.
It does. But it does indeed.
Anyway. But there are... okay, let's just move on.
Yeah.
Dan.
Yes?
The Barna Group.
They've come up before. Yes.
They have a new they're like this conservative Christian polling group, right?
Yeah, yeah. They're like the evangelical Dan Jones.
There you go. I think Dan Jones is a local thing.
Yeah, that's true.
Wall Street or who does polls? Gallup.
Evangelical Gallup.
There you go.
There we go. I'm like Dan Jones. Wait, no, that's just
guy here in town who calls around.
He's just a guy that calls people.
Dan, Mr. Jones, stop calling.
Damn it, Dan.
So they have a new thing out talking about the cities of this country and which ones are sort of the most secular or in their terms, the most post-Christian.
Oh, post-Christianity, is it?
Yes, indeed. Because that's the only thing that you could possibly be coming from. If you are secular,
if you don't love Jesus,
you must be post-Christian.
You might be a post-Christian. I'm going to turn the whole episode into a Jeff Foxworthy impression from now on.
Please don't.
If you think that you're a burger, you might have diarrhea. No. What?
Might be a redneck.
Right. That's it. You figured it out.
Have diarrhea. It's either or.
So Barna Group has found.
Let's go through the list. These are the most post-Christian places in America.
Most post-Christian. That is as ugly a phrasing as we can. I mean, what it shows. We'll get to that. But what it shows is where the Barna Group really is coming from, because they're not going to say most secular or least religious.
Right.
Because everything has to be related to Christianity.
Right.
It's not even like anyone who says I'm an atheist, they're not post-Jewish.
Right.
They didn't leave Islam.
Right. They're post-Christian.
They're post-Christian.
It makes perfect sense.
It all does. So let's talk about these cities.
Actually.
Yeah.
Did you look at this list at all? Because this is a perfect time to have a little quiz.
I admit that I also did see this, so
good.
So I didn't look at the whole list though, but I mean it was completely coastal.
Do you remember the number one post-Christian city in America?
I was like Maine, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the Portland, Auburn, metropolitan area
of Maine.
Of Maine comes in at 57% post-Christian.
Good for them.
Yeah, can you believe it? And then right after
those Mainers are no nonsense. Let me tell you, they're not. They don't go in for all of that hocus pocus.
Oh no,
they go out on
shoot straight.
They go out on the ocean. They catch their lobsters.
Uh huh. They come back and they don't believe in God.
And then they're done.
The next most post-Christian city in America, or should I say metropolitan area, because once again, it's a couple different cities combined into one statistical area. Boston, Massachusetts, and Manchester, New Hampshire.
Wait, those are two. Those are one area?
Yeah, it's hyphenated.
Well, that's just weird. I don't know why. I've never been to Boston/Manchester.
I believe the hyphen, because there's no comma. They are also doing comma ones.
Oh, my God.
No.
Barna, get your fucking act together.
Burlington, Vermont.
Just pick a fucking city.
Yeah, the hyphenated ones are, these other ones I know to actually be metropolitan areas. So I'm assuming, that, geography is failing me. Dan, geography.
Oh, God.
We suck. But also at the number two spot was Albany, Schenectady, Troy, New York.
Okay.
Right. But then there's Providence, Rhode Island, matched with New Bedford, Massachusetts.
Oh, my God.
Burlington, Vermont.
Jesus has been evicted from the Northeast.
There's Hartford, Connecticut, New York. San Francisco, Oakland, San Jose, California.
Oh, there's the West.
Yep. Seattle, Tacoma, and Buffalo, New York.
It's all going down.
But yeah, you're right. It's all coastal
except for Buffalo,
which is up there.
Inland a little bit.
Yeah. Not surprising, of course, that these would be coastal places.
No.
I guess I'm a little surprised at who's not on the list, but probably right up there.
Like what? Portland?
Yeah, Portland. Maybe Los Angeles.
Sure.
Anywhere in Florida.
Godless. That's all Catholics and Jews. It's
lots of Jews.
The Jews come from New York down.
Right.
The Catholics come from Cuba up.
Oh, I guess that's true, but it just seems, you know,
Yeah, you would think like Miami.
That much meth use cannot leave a place that God-fearing.
You clearly have not seen God in your meth on your meth trips, which I totally have.
But also in these articles, there's always, of course, the flip side.
Uh-oh.
Which is, according to the Barna Group and their use of language, the most churched city in America.
Oh, it's not the most pre-Christian? It's not the most currently Christian?
Nope, it's churched. It's
churched.
The most churched city.
That is not a verb.
To church a town? But let's church this place up.
We need to church this place. This place needs to get churched.
Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Well, there's a shocker.
Also on the list, where's that place? Shreveport.
Louisiana?
Yeah.
Oh.
They're
mostly Catholic, aren't they?
Yeah.
You and I have been to Shreveport.
Yeah. It's the least post-Christian city at 12%.
Oh.
Yeah.
There you go.
Least
post-Christian. How are we going to word this so that it's the most not easiest to read? The least most not difficult, easiest to understand. Oh, God. All right. Well, I'm pretty post-Christian, so I'm going to move on to... there's a new study. You know, Donald Trump wants to defund Planned Parenthood, as do all the conservatives. Planned Parenthood is public enemy number one.
Yeah.
In the Bible Belt and beyond. Want to know why? Because they kill babies. That's all anybody cares about. They kill babies. They are a large provider of abortion. There's the theory that if we can just defund Planned Parenthood,
yeah,
we can prevent abortion in this country.
Oh, of course it would.
Thank God.
nobody will ever want an abortion ever again.
Right, right.
Where would they possibly go?
So here's the thing. Texas has already kind of done it. We've got a test case where Texas basically slashed the budget for family planning services and shut down most of the clinics. And they basically have made it all but impossible to get an abortion and made it impossible for Planned Parenthood to thrive as an organization.
Really?
Yes. Which...
What about private donations? Like, what percentage of Planned Parenthood's budget typically comes from government? Is it a lot? Is it really that sizable?
I have all of those statistics at my disposal right now, but I'm just not going to tell you.
It's the least most important source of funding.
Something. I don't know. Here's what I do know. They did manage to really cut down Planned Parenthood clinics.
Huh, wow.
Most of them were shut down.
That's disgusting.
Well, what do you think the results were in terms of how many abortions were prevented?
Went up.
It went up!
Abortion went up. Had to have.
Because what they're not taking into account is that it's about planning.
Yes.
Parenthood. You'd think that they would have been smart enough to put something about that in the name of the place. But they didn't think of that. They just named it whatever they named it.
Yeah.
What they are is a resource to go and not get pregnant.
Yeah. Contraception are us is what they should have
called it. Right. They prevent way more abortions than they perform.
Right.
So... Once it happened, there was a study that was done by Miami University professor Annalisa Packham. Mm. A little bit of controversy in this study, but what she did was she was able to sort of recreate, and a lot of these studies, I have to say, a lot of these studies, because you don't have two Texases to compare.
Right.
Like, Texas did what it did. And so we can get that data, but we don't know what really would have happened if they hadn't done it. So what they do is they take states that have similar demographics to Texas, a few states that have similar sort of backgrounds but didn't do what Texas did, and they take data from them and combine them together in a way to create a synthetic Texas. A Texas that didn't do this. That didn't...
Some alternate universe Texas.
Right. Bizarro Texas.
Right.
That didn't do it.
All they need is actually, be able to get to a different dimension.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, that's what they need.
Quantum studying...
That would be easier.
...is the wave of the future. But for now, we have to create synthetic Texas.
Synthetic. That's great.
Which, yeah. I've been to Texas. It's pretty synthetic. I don't know if you've seen a Texas woman anytime recently. But ain't nothing natural going on there.
Mm-hmm.
Anywho, the Texas. So the results of this study indicate that, quote, let's see, the funding cuts increased abortion rates by 4.9% in 1 to 2 years after the funding cuts and 3.1% over 3 years.
Hmm.
That's a significant jump.
Mm-hmm.
You are causing abortions. You. Conservative politicians, yeah.
They don't get it.
Well, what I love is that even if they do get it, and some of these politicians may well get it, they don't care though. What they need is not to prevent abortions. What they need is an enemy that they can point to and say, look who I'm fighting. You have to vote for me because I'm fighting this enemy.
Right.
And they've done a really great job of vilifying this very, very good organization that does amazing work for the entire country. So, well done, America. You're killing the good ones.
Aww.
Hooray. But that's what they would say about us, we who are okay with abortion. We're killing the innocent.
No, we're not.
Murderers. That's what we are. Anyway, hey, if you're a murderer and you'd like to talk about it, you can write into us, podcast@thankgodimatheist.com.
Or you could call and leave us a voicemail message. The telephone number is 424-666-8442.
Yeah, go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/TGIAtheist.
And while you're there, search for the TGIA Members Only Lounge and request to join. It's a closed group, but we'll let you in.
We will.
Hey, Dan.
Yo.
Do you like pedophilia?
Well, who doesn't?
Good Lord.
That's a great question.
Why this sudden awareness of the rampant pedophilia problem amongst America's highest ranking government liberal officials?
There is this sort of weird Alex Jones thing that's happening right now.
Yeah.
It's the satanic panic is back. Yeah. And this time they're fucking your kids.
Right.
Let's listen to, this is, who is this guy?
This is Mark Taylor.
Mark Taylor was the quote firefighter prophet, apparently.
Okay.
A guy who prophesies. He's a peach, and he's got some good stuff to say to us about what's coming.
Oh, God.
That's what you're going to see happening. I think you're going to see the news media cleaned out. You're going to see corrupt government officials go down. I did Jim Baker's show here not too long ago. I released something that you're going to see arrest warrants taking place, and we're going to have to be careful how they do this because this is going to go so deep they could take down parts of government, literally. And you're going to see military-style tribunals break out. Divine justice is not coming. Divine justice is being poured out right now. And here's what people don't understand, because there's been 100% media blackout on this. 3,000 elite pedophiles have been arrested since the inauguration. And that's not a whole lot of common knowledge. People don't understand that. It's because they've had 100% media blackout on it. And there are two Navy SEALs right now, ex-Navy SEALs, that are trying to get the word out. They're making a documentary to try to get the word out to the public that how many arrests have actually been made. Now, these are well common names, and they're not releasing the names of elites that have been arrested. And then you've also got ex-special forces that are going around the world right now, literally pulling these kids out of these satanic cults of pedophilia, child sacrifices, and are rescuing these kids and bringing them back is what they're doing. And this is the stuff you're not hearing on the news right now. So you're going to see, literally, I prophesied in 2015, well, you read the prophetic word, that the Clintons were going to go down, Obama's going to go down, they're all going to go down. Everybody who is corrupt, time is up for those who are corrupt, is what the title of the prophecy was. And God is very serious when he says he's going to clean house. And it's just, everybody keeps asking me, when's it going to start? When's it going to start? It's already started. It's just, they're not saying anything. And the other thing you have to understand, Trump being 10 places ahead of everybody else, he's not going to tip his hat as to what he's doing. You know what I mean? He's just not going to. You're just going to wake up one morning and all of a sudden Hillary Clinton's going to be in jail. Boom. Or she's going to be indicted before the committee, Senate committee. You know what I mean? And I believe she will go to jail because it will also be a sign to the United States that spirit called Jezebel has been locked up and the key thrown away.
Well, that guy is he's a modern day prophet, Dan.
Let me tell you something about that guy. He is bad at idioms. Tip your hand or tip your hat. You got one or the other. They mean two totally different things.
Did he tip his hat at something?
Trump's not the kind of guy who's going to tip his hat. Well, no, he's not. Because he doesn't.
I don't know. Good day, sir.
His red baseball cap.
Good day to you, ma'am. Good day to you.
Ah, well done. I tip my hat to you.
Good day. Good day.
That guy, I think he's got it. I think he's figured it out. 3,000 arrests. There's a media blackout.
But 3,000 people have disappeared.
3,000 elite pedophiles. None of their families are complaining currently. We're not hearing anything from any of their families.
There's so much shame, Dan. And the media won't listen.
The media has blacked it out.
Blacked it out.
Including, the conservative media. Like, it's not showing up on Fox.
Anywhere.
Breitbart.
Oh, my God.
Breitbart probably has it. They know what's up.
Well, I'm glad this guy's on the story, Dan.
Yeah, he is on the case. And he, boy, talk about Jeff Foxworthy. That guy. If you like to rape children and satanic cults, you might be a liberal elite. Is what basically he said.
Yeah.
He's got a mustache. That's the main thing, right? Jeff Foxworthy has a mustache.
I guess so.
I don't know.
All right, moving on. We had some folks write into us. This is from Thomas, who writes, guys, first of all, thanks for doing the podcast. I was very interested in your discussion about Satan in Mormonism in the last podcast.
Mm.
I remember being confused in religion class. I was in a Catholic high school, even though my parents had left the church. When covering the Book of Job, and it was clearly stated that Satan was among the heavenly host where God was holding court.
Mm-hmm.
I had thought that he was banished from heaven long before. Brother Richard rather feebly suggested sometimes God let Satan back in to see what was missing.
Oh, wow. good try.
Good job, Brother Richard. You know you're just making shit up. I wish I knew how much of what I believed as a child was just some adult making something up on the spot because they didn't know the answer and they didn't want to feel stupid.
Right.
I wish I had an understanding of exactly how much that was. Anyway, so I emailed the Bible Geek. I don't know who that is, but apparently there is one. And he said that Satan is not a name, but more of a title or job description. It means, quote, the adversary, and is an angel sent by God to test someone. The leader of the rebellious angels was Lucifer.
Mm.
Anyway, this puts Satan tempting Jesus into a very different light. Satan was following God's orders to find out if Jesus could overcome the temptation to aggrandize himself. So, yeah. There you go.
But that's rough when you believe in the Trinity.
Right.
That's hard.
I am going to send a guy to tempt me to see how I'll really react to this when this happens. I'll
but
never
I have
see
no it. Knowledge of this whatsoever.
I'll never see it coming. Take that, me.
And then I'm going to descend upon myself like a dove.
Right. And then I'm going to call out to me in pain as I allow other people to hang me on a cross.
Yeah.
Oh, but me. Why have I forsaken me?
But then I'm going to go up to heaven and visit me.
And then I'm going to send me back down. I'm bad at this game. I think I'm bad at this game. Me no good. me bad at me-ing. Satan, the word Satan as a title, I like that. It's like the word Christ as a title.
Oh, yeah.
Lucifer the Satan.
Lucifer. Hello, I'm Lucifer. I'm Satan today.
I'll be your Satan.
I'll be your Satan today. Oh, funny, funny. Alex wrote into us. Alex says, the last podcast opening topic was the national anthem as a starting point. You and I talked about how weirded out we get.
Strange
that
shit
happens. Yeah. And we don't know what to do. Don't feel weird, says Alex. I never, ever, ever do that.
Ah.
I do not feel obligated to sing or pledge or put my hand anywhere other than my side, generally in my pocket. It feels so cult-like to do that. How can I pledge and put my hand there when I do not support most of the things we do as a nation? If anyone out there doesn't feel like doing it, don't. If it feels weird, then don't. It's not a big deal. Who's going to call you out? Why does it matter? Now, here's where I wanted to push back against Alex for a little bit.
Okay.
I can very easily imagine in Donald Trump's America, in alt-right America, in Kaepernick America, that if you don't stand up and put your hand on your heart and sing the national anthem, somebody could call you out. And it will be someone who is prone to irrational violence.
Yeah, if they're going to actually go to the length of...
Stand the fuck up! This is America, goddammit!
Yeah.
I can see that happening quite easily. Mm-hmm. And then rallying other people to their cause.
Right.
You could get beer poured
on
you.
This man hates America. Hey, if you don't like America, get the fuck out. Go home.
Go home.
You
fucking commie.
You don't like America? Go home, man.
Wait,
get out of here.
No, we're supposed to like the Russians now. Oh, fuck, right.
You Nazi? No, wait, we like the Nazis too now. What? Yeah, Breitbart, you know, Steve Bannon. Oh, okay, go home, you, just go home.
I think they could come up with a couple things to yell.
Yeah, yeah, they've got stuff to yell. They're good at hollering.
Yeah.
They can holler.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't.
Go back to Scandinavia.
They don't know that word.
Hey, you belong in Copenhagen.
Go back to France, Frenchy Frog.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's also somehow emasculating. I don't know why.
To our French listeners, we Americans see your males as inferior. Yeah, I think you know where you live, ladies and gentlemen. And you probably know if it's safe to abstain or not. But be aware that someone might get mad.
Yeah.
This is, after all,
America.
America. did we have any donors?
Oh, we do, Dan.
Okay.
We have new donors. Jesus Christ, this print is small.
Oh, Frank got old. Frank went and got old,
sorry,
on us.
Guys. I mean,
get your bifocals out,
not
Franklin.
Yet. Not yet. Brandon. We have Brandon as a new member of the faithful.
Uh-huh.
The new faithful listener. And Dan,
ooh,
we have to both thank somebody and inaugurate someone new.
What?
First, thank you, James, for all of your support.
Oh.
And your continued support.
Our previous Lord and Savior,
our
James.
Our previous Lord and Savior. However, there is a new top donor.
A new Lord and Savior?
A new Lord and Savior. An archangel, as it were.
Oh.
Angela.
Archangela.
Archangela.
Our new Lord and Savior. The heavenly host trumpets your name as you are now our top donor on Patreon.
Oh, so thank you, Angela, and thank you, James.
And
thank you, everyone.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to become one of the holiest people on the planet, meaning someone who helps to make this show go.
Yeah.
We would surely appreciate a donation. You can go to thankgodimatheist.com, click on the Patreon button, and then you can make a per show donation, and mm-hmm. and we honor you for that.
Yes, indeed.
In the name of the Frank and of the Dan and of the holy shit. Amen.
Amen.
So, Frank,
mm-hmm.
You remember how you and I used to be Marmons?
Oh.
Does that ring a bell to you?
It's so weird to think back on now.
You and I were members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And at some
point...
Well,
when you say it that way, you give me the willies.
At some point, it made sense to me. I remember that all being sounding pretty fucking true.
I know.
For a minute there.
Ugh. Well, it sounded normal.
Yeah.
It sounded like what you grew up with.
It was
what it was.
Every bit as true as the fact that benevolent Columbus discovered America
and saved it from the savages.
And yeah, all the other good history that we learned. It was all very, very plausible and real.
Mm-hmm.
And it all the genesis point, the pivotal moment.
Mm.
That got millions of people to believe in this fine, fine, not at all cultish religion.
No.
Was what is now known among the Mormons as the first vision.
The first vision.
It is an important moment in Mormon history.
Yeah, this is Joseph Smith.
Joe Smith.
Meeting God for the first time.
The man himself. Started a religion based on a story that he told about God coming to him personally. This is not a voice in this man's head.
No.
This is a pillar of fire coming down from the sky, brighter than all get out.
Than the noonday sun.
And right. Which was funny because I think it happened during the day, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a little bit brighter than it already was.
He didn't say how much brighter. He just said brighter, Dan.
Yeah. And then something happened. But here's the problem. So we were raised with a story. And the story we were raised with was what, Frank?
So Joseph Smith was wondering. Okay, so Joseph Smith grew up in a region of the country where there was a great revival of faith. And there were all these different groups vying for individuals to join their sect. And Joseph Smith was confused about which one was the right one for him to join.
It's a great question.
So when he was about 14 years old, he wanders out into the woods near his home in upstate New York.
Yes.
And out into a lovely grove of trees. And he mm-hmm. kneels down and he begins to pray. Well, no sooner than he had begun to pray than a dark force sort of comes down and is kind of oppressing him,
yeah.
right? Preventing him from continuing to pray, right? It strangles off his speech. And then in a moment, it switches. That presence flees, and this pillar of light, as you mentioned, brighter than the noonday sun, with two personages in it, descends into the grove. And the one, pointing, gesturing to the other, says...
Says, my name is Captain Kirk, and this is Spock.
And we have a message. No, he says, what? Behold, I am the Lord thy God, and this is my beloved son. I can't remember exactly how it
Something
goes.
Something along those lines.
But he gestures to the other one. He says, behold, this is my son... In whom I am well pleased,
or
hear ye him.
Hear him, yes. And then Jesus tells him to go, and none of the religions are true.
None of them.
And go start your own shit.
Well, no, he says, but I think he kind of leaves it as sort of a, but wait instructions.
Like,
he doesn't say go start Mormonism. He doesn't tell him at this point where...
The golden plates
are or anything like that. It's just kind of like, this is the thing, don't do that, just kind of stay in a little holding pattern, and some other good shit's gonna come down the pike. But it was like 4 fucking years before anything else really happened.
Yeah.
So what's a young man who now has been visited by God the Father and Jesus Christ, what's he to do?
Masturbate, like the rest of us.
But to make up wildly diverse versions of this pivotal moment in his life.
Well, here's
that no human being could ever forget or confuse the details of.
Well, you'd think that if fucking God, his goddamn self, came to you,
right,
you'd remember most of the salient points.
Yeah,
one could be forgiven. If he forgot where the specific place was,
yeah, sure.
You know, where in the mountains, in the woods he trekked off to or whatever. One could be forgiven if he didn't know.
What shade of green the leaves
right.
were that day.
What he was wearing.
I would forgive him what he was wearing.
There are lots of details. Even if he got a few, like, fairly major things wrong, like, you know, about the date or whatever.
Yeah.
He could be forgiven for a lot.
It was a Tuesday instead of a Thursday.
Here's the problem. There are 4 direct accounts that we have that Joseph himself gave.
That
he either wrote or that he spoke.
So which one did I just give? Because that's the one that I feel like as soon as I started to tell the story, a corner of my brain that keeps my missionary memories took over. I've told that story. In Italian, probably multiple times.
Sure.
With basically those details. So, like, that clearly must be the official account, but where does that fit in with?
So, that's what's in, I believe that basic accounting is what is in the scripture now, the Doctrine and Covenants.
Oh, okay.
The Mormon scripture. So, probably what that it's an amalgamation. I think it's the last one. I think it's the 1842 version.
When he finally got it right.
When he finally sort of honed and refined. Or maybe it's the 38 version. Here's the thing. These four versions, there are some pretty glaring differences. Well,
let's get to some of those differences.
All right. First, we got 1832.
Okay.
This is well after when any of this was supposed to have happened.
Right. Because, like,
the first time he gives an account of this.
This was supposed to have happened in, like, 1820, right?
Well, it depends on which one you believe.
Oh, wow.
Because the first one says he was 16 years old.
Right. Okay.
And that he went and so he's 16 in the 1832.
Okay.
It changes later to 14.
Oh, right.
So,
huh.
Who knows when this was meant to have happened?
Okay.
1832 talks about, so all of the accounts have these basic things. Joseph had questions about religion. He searches the scriptures. He then has a vision and he speaks with the Lord.
Mm.
Those are all in all of them. Pretty vague,
mm-hmm.
pretty vague stuff. 32 and 35, he's concerned about his soul, and Jesus tells Joseph his sins are forgiven.
Interesting.
Mind you, so in the first one, 32, he's 16, and Jesus comes to him.
Right.
Just Jesus. The pillar of fire happens, and it's Jesus, and he tells him your sins are forgiven. And that's that. 35, Joseph tells the story again. He's gotten a little bit embellishy. He sees many angels.
Oh.
In 35.
Of course. Of course there'd be angels. I'm surprised he left that detail out the first time.
Yeah, I think the angels didn't really play in Peoria. Because we get to 38, the angels are gone.
Interesting. My instinct would be to put angels.
You'd want into you, the, you would
into
think
story.
He didn't put it in the first one. He only put it in the second one. The angels disappear in the other ones.
Okay.
But 1835 and 38, Satan comes into play. Those are the two where the darkness that you talked about that he felt,
and that
is Satan.
Interesting that stuck.
Of course.
Well it's because stuck the in devil those does two. Not want this thing to happen.
Right.
This cannot happen. He knows what's about to happen.
Right.
This kid,
he's going to try and stop it, but he can't.
Yeah.
So that comes in those two. It does not come in the 42.
Oh,
mind you. But I think they kind of snuck it back in.
Okay.
In a few of them,
such a good detail.
There's the introduction by God of Jesus. So the last three all include that. Two personages.
Behold, I am.
And Mormonism is the only context in which I've ever heard the word personage. It's just a person. It's either a person or it's not. Why are we using the word personage? It sounds fancy.
It does.
He's really good at fancy sounding stuff.
Yeah.
You wouldn't believe how many times this guy uses the term, and it came to pass.
I say unto you.
He had came to pass and verily Tourette's. It was just like hick. That was his tick.
Verily.
And verily it was actually like when he couldn't think of what to say next because he was dictating a lot of this time and it was always like and verily I say unto you that it came to pass that. And he's just buying himself time to
behold
think of the next thing.
Verily, the Lord.
Yeah. So it was only in the 1838 and 1842 accounts. 42, this is 10 years after the first account. Now, Christ is telling Joseph that all of the other churches are wrong.
That's good stuff.
And that, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So that's where that all comes in. Now, to my mind, a guy telling a story where the first account of it, written in his own hand, says Jesus came to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then later accounts say God and Jesus came to him.
Not just Jesus, but fucking God.
I mean...
God.
You guys. Like... If it were like, I can't remember who was there. Joey was there, and Sam and Bubba was there, but I right. don't remember. Wait, now, was Rick there, or was Rick not there? If that's what it is,
right.
and it's just recounting, like, who got drunk at the frat party,
right?
Fine.
Right.
You don't remember who was there. Okay. But if you can't decide if you were 14 or 16... And you can't decide...
Was God there or not?
Now, wait.
Like, I know Jesus was there.
Jesus was
Clearly
totally there.
Jesus was
I
there.
Remember Jesus being there because he said a bunch of shit to me.
It's possible that there were some angels... The devil and some angels were there.
Was the devil there?
Maybe not.
No, wait. I remember... I think I remember angels because there was... Oh, you know what? It wasn't angels. It was God.
Yeah.
It was God.
It was good.
I remember God was there. Was the devil... I remember... Ladies and gentlemen, I believe there might be some untruth happening in this story. I believe that doubt has been cast on this holiest of stories.
The first vision, Dan.
Oh, you guys don't even know, like, how... You do. You know how important this is because he's claiming fucking God came and visited him.
Right. This is... Yeah, everything hinges on this.
Get more important than that.
I mean, the Mormon Church would like you to believe that it all hinges on the Book of Mormon.
Right. But the Book of Mormon hinges on this story.
Hinges on this.
Like, if this story isn't true, it's pretty clear that the idea of the Book of Mormon, which we mentioned the Golden Plates, ladies and gentlemen, the Book of Mormon is not something that Joseph Smith claims to have written.
Right.
Joseph Smith claimed to translate from plates of gold found in the ground, revealed to him by an angel.
Yes. Later on.
Right.
A few years later.
Now,
from the first vision.
If the story of the first vision is not credible, it might cast a little bit of doubt on the story of magic plates of gold in the fucking
in the Hill Cumorah.
We believe this, Frank. Oh, what Mormons believe.
It's rough, Dan.
You went out into the world and taught it unto other people who were probably utterly incredulous at the notion.
Yeah. Just like most people, we believe in God. And we know that he lives and that he loves us. And we want to share with you our feelings about him. This is memorized shit.
Yeah.
Like you, but at least back then, you learned by...
You had a spiel.
And you had to know it by heart.
Yeah.
And you rattled it off to people and you were supposed to like... And that's what was always funny about it is that here we are, you know, with our broken Italian... kind of struggling, limping through the language, and then cut to me telling you this story that's my testimony of it, and it switches gears into like poetic Italian.
Oh, because you had already crafted this.
This is a standard discussion.
Right.
It has, you memorize it.
Right.
Come la maggioranza delle persone, noi crediamo a Dio. E vogliamo condividere con voi i nostri sentimenti a suo riguardo. Like, that's the first line. And everybody said that line, and then you work your way through it.
Is that I'd like to bear my testimony that I know the church is true?
No, it's, like most people, we believe in God, and we'd like to share with you our feelings about him.
There you go. It's a good spiel. You know, these accounts of the first vision, I'm gonna circle back to this because for the longest time no one knew that there were multiple accounts.
Right.
There were like a couple of people that knew. And then there are these pesky historians that started to dig in and found different accounts and sort of, you know, quietly said, you guys? But still nobody really knew about it. None of the Mormons, because, you know, you don't disseminate that amongst your flock.
Oh, no.
But here here enter then this thing. Have you heard of this thing that they call the internet?
Do tell,
an
Dan.
Intern,
it sounds interesting.
I think it's called an internet. It's like a little smaller female intern.
Oh,
an internet.
Okay. An internet. That's nice.
But she goes and she gets all kinds of information for you, and she just presents it to you.
Mm.
So people who don't like the Mormons, or who want the Mormons to, or who want people to understand that there might be reasons not to believe in Mormonism, started putting this stuff up there. So now the church themselves has their own essay on it, mm-hmm. on LDS.org. If you Google LDS.org essays or Mormon essays, you can find all of their essays that they try to, where they try to take control of the narrative of
right.
the most controversial things
in their history.
In their history.
Yeah.
And in their present. They really try and grab hold of them.
Yeah.
And they tell a tale that's nice, but they also acknowledge that there's truth in this. And they have links to all of the accounts of the first vision. They make sure that you know that this shouldn't shake your faith, because it's just, you know, when you tell a story, sometimes you get some facts wrong.
You tell us the same story the same way over and over and over again.
No. You embellish.
You
find ways of making it more fun.
You read your audience.
Yeah.
You know, what part's really playing to these people?
Yeah. So they're going to make sure that you know that there's nothing scary about these at all. It's totally fine. And that there were these different accounts, and they tell you what the accounts were. And then they're like, link to this account.
Right.
And then they fully expect you not to go and read those things and compare.
Right.
But boy, howdy, when you do compare and contrast, yikes.
Lots of contrast?
Yeah. Important contrast. Anyway, hey, I don't know, ladies and germs, did you grow up in a religion that now you look back on and you find that there are things that are like wholly, completely shitty about, like just blatantly and overtly stupid? Well, that's what we did. If you have moments like that with your religion, send them to us. podcast@thankgodimatheist.com.
Or call and tell us about him. The telephone number is 424-666-8442.
Yeah, we love those voicemails. Keep it brief, but yeah, it's fantastic when we get your voice on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/TGIAtheist.
And while you're on Facebook, search for the TGIA Members Only Lounge and request to join. It's a closed group, but we will let you in.
Indeed. Well, we thank you. Speaking of the Facebook,
yeah,
I wanted to thank Mackenzie for all of her amazing work as curator of our Facebook page, and I'll also thank Sarah and Amy and Danny for their hard work as moderators on the Members Only Lounge. They're amazing.
And of course, we need to thank the Red Rock Hot Club and Gordon Johnston for the use of their music.
Yeah, they're awesome. I also want to just quickly, we don't always do this at the end of the show, but I'm going to again thank all of our Patreon donors.
Absolutely.
For keeping us afloat. It is absolutely vital to us, and we love it so much, and we're so appreciative, especially to our new Lord and Savior, Angela. And thank you, dear listener, for tuning in.
Bye.